Happy Little Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. Happy Thursday. We're so happy you are here with us. Plenty to talk about, as you just heard Ken Rudolph there in the sports update. The story none of us thought we would be talking about this summer. Russell Westbrook signs an extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Raise your hand if you had that one.
Nope.
All right.
I thought today might be a day we're talking about him being traded.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt like that was much more likely. You know the way Oklahoma City operates. Look back at the James Harden deal. They put a contract out there, and they put a deadline on it. You got till 6 p.m. to take the deal. If you don't take it, we'll move you. Okay, he didn't take it. So we know what happened there.
Exactly.
Now, there's no reason to believe that they ever got to that point with Russell Westbrook, but I think the common thought was, he's not going to sign an extension. You're better off moving him now rather than later. And they said, the hell with that. We're not moving him at all. We're going to sign a contract extension. And, of course, now you start to read a bunch of different things. One of them includes that the writing was all on the wall with the Dion Waiters. When they rescinded the rights to Dion Waiters, that was a clear cut. They were freeing up money, and they were going to get this deal done with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes these can be win-win, right? It's a win for Westbrook immediately. He gets a raise this year. It still makes a lot of money. Sets up some freedom for them, for him going forward, and potentially even them. So today seems like a win-win for both.
It's interesting because a lot of analysts say that, you know, with him, they're still a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that. But I think that they'll still play hard. They don't have necessarily enough talent, but
they're a playoff team.
You think so? Still a playoff team?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like the layers of this, though. I think there's more to this.
You think there's more to come?
What?
More is going to happen? Like what?
Is anybody curious what Kevin Durant's response was? Anybody?
I actually didn't even think about that.
We just so happened to have it.
Oh.
Durant was asked by reporters if he has called to congratulate Russell Westbrook on his new deal. Kevin Durant's response, nah, that's a touchy subject. I'll wait till things die down a little bit.
Really? That's what he said?
That is exactly what he said.
There's more to this.
Nah, okay, so that's a touchy subject.
So at least it's – okay, that was an honest response, and I appreciate that.
Dude, there's something we don't know. There is something we don't know with this story.
Is it, or is it like everything that you can possibly think as human beings? Because nothing really ever is all that strained once you break it down to human behavior.
Yeah.
So is it probably what we all suspect?
They hate each other?
Well, not hate each other, but towards...
strongly dislike each other.
Maybe towards the end, you know, maybe KD did have an issue with him having the ball all the time.
Maybe. And I told you, Damian, before, my first reaction was everybody had kind of laid out that Durant's an OKC for life. They're going to name schools, streets, cities after him.
And Westbrook, by the way, came... a year later?
A year later, okay. But he's going to L.A. He's the guy that's chased the money.
He's a fashion guy. He's got all these outside interests.
And KD jumps to the winners, goes to a winning situation, and Westbrook, now he's definitely gone. Instead, he signs an extension. It's almost like, no, I'm going to do it this way. And now he has got to be
the most loved
person in OKC. And it's like, wait, is this a jab at him? I don't know. Maybe it's reading too much into it, but I feel like there's something there.
No, that was one of the first things I thought of is, does this change the perception of Kevin Durant a little bit because Russell Westbrook stayed? Do the fans of Oklahoma City look at the Kevin Durant situation differently now because their other superstar, and he is a superstar, stayed?
Well, maybe. Well, that's a valid question, although maybe he just decided, I can get more money here now, and I still have the option to bail and get some more money later.
Yeah, because
he's got the player option.
Today couldn't have happened, right, if Durant stayed? Or could it, to the same financial degree, benefit for Westbrook?
I think it could have because it's his team.
Okay.
I think it's different. You know what? Let's not even speculate. Yeah. These are all terrific questions for Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast, who we've had on before to talk salary cap stuff. He will be with us at the bottom of this hour, 12:30. All of these money questions, because the first thing that came to my mind is why, when you have the ability to sign a contract this coming offseason with the cap going up, why would you voluntarily sign it during the year? My one thought was, well, Oklahoma City wasn't going to let it get that far.
Right.
That they weren't going to risk him being wooed by someone else, even if they got assurances because we've used that word assurances a lot over the course of the last few months talking about Kevin Durant. Oh, there were assurances. They weren't going to go down that road again. They were probably, I had always felt if they were going to move him, they were going to move him before the season started rather than waiting till February.
Right.
So it could be as simple as that, but I had heard Mark Stein and Zach Lowe talk about this on Zach Lowe's podcast just last week, where they talked about the thing that made the most financial sense for Russell Westbrook was to sign a three-year extension, essentially a 2+1, where he could opt out into what would be his 10th year in the NBA, and that would make him eligible for the supermax that LeBron James will get next season.
But that supermax only comes from Oklahoma City.
Correct.
He would have to re-sign as a free agent, meaning they rip up this deal, they do a whole new deal, and then he gets that supermax money.
Which, and this is a question for Nate Duncan at the bottom of the hour, makes me feel like he just set himself up to be with the Thunder for the next 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, and gives them 2 years to build around him to get the team right to make it go, oh, yeah, I'm definitely staying.
You know who's fired up? Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
Enes Kanter tweeted out the banner of Kevin Durant with his...
Oh, when they were taking it down? Or?
No, his the Players Tribune thing.
Uh-huh.
The thing that went up when he posted the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
Except he face-planted Russell Westbrook's face on it. And he said, I'm not going to the enemy.
It's
like, okay. All right, Kanter's fired up.
That's okay. Start some trouble.
It's
ready to go.
Mix
I'm
it
with
up.
It. So Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast will be with us at 12:30 to talk about this much, much more in-depthly. Really just stunned.
Yeah,
I really am surprised at this. I'm happy it got done.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know I got a pretty big man crush on Russell Westbrook, so I'm happy he's in Oklahoma City.
To be honest with you, I did not know that.
You didn't?
No.
I talk about Russell Westbrook all the time.
True, but I didn't know that it was that deep.
He's closer than Durant.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah,
Westbrook.
Yeah, we're like this.
Way closer.
Ever since I saw him playing that rookie sophomore game, I was like, who is this kid right here?
But at the same time, it does make you wonder, and I'm wondering why. Why would he want to stay there? I mean, money aside, and I understand money does a lot of talking, but you don't have a legitimate chance to win anything in Oklahoma City. Anytime soon.
I just think you don't.
So I'm like, why would he? I was trying to figure out, why do you stay? Is it just for the money?
Could be for the money. It could be, maybe we always use this word, right? Legacy.
Yeah.
But establishes something there in Oklahoma City. What if Oklahoma City does? Wait, he gets one guy to come his way, or they draft the right player, or they make a deal to move up in a draft, whatever.
Right.
They don't even have to win the championship. They beat the Thunder they beat the Warriors in any round of the playoffs. Set.
You think?
He's good. Oh, yeah.
And
yes.
The perception out there, right or wrong, people will say, well, that was Durant's team. It's Westbrook's team now. There's
no
question.
Right, yep.
So if they have success, or failures for that matter, it's going to him. But the success part, like LeBron's championship this year, seems so much more prized by the masses than what he did in Miami, even though he had some really good players on Cleveland, but it's just now it was like LeBron carried that whole team. Well, he carried the other team too, but I just feel like if Westbrook does really well, he'll get a lot of praise.
And I feel like if they don't have any success this year,
it's coming down on him.
And then he's going to leave. He's going to opt out. And even though they can give him supermax money, I mean, you had a horrible season.
So that's the question then. Your question that you just posed, why? What's the point?
Yeah.
Might not be answered for 2 more years.
Right.
Because if he opts out, they're not winning and they're not doing well. If he opts out, the Thunder want to keep him. And he stays, it's because of money.
Yep.
Which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
But that sullies
why
your
the
legacy.
System,
but that will sully the legacy big time, right?
To stay for money?
Just for money, yeah.
Wait a minute. You can't leave. Because, like, Kevin Durant's legacy's messed up because he went to Golden State, but he can't stay for money?
No, right? No athlete.
Well, what the hell is he supposed to do? He can't leave? He can't stay?
He's supposed to go and win. You win at all cost, at any cost. There's no athlete on the planet that's ever been revered because of their money. In fact, they're punchlines because of the money.
And that's absolutely true. Hold that thought right there. Mike, we see you on hold, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to jump in, we'll definitely get you. We haven't talked about the Giants yet. Well, Giants fans, avert your ears, but we got to touch on that. A couple of walk-offs yesterday, as a matter of fact. We'll get to that, plus Navarro Bowman's new deal next here on The Lowdown. You got to admire a man who can work in the word pertinent.
That's solid.
Into his show tease there.
That's a solid $8 word right there.
Grant Napier pulling double duty here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. We thank you so much for being with us here on The Lowdown. Jason, Ken, Damian, we opened up talking about Russell Westbrook. We want to get to the Giants here in just a few minutes. But, Mike, we know you've been on hold for a while through the commercial break, man. We appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I think this Westbrook signing opened up some potential that I think that the OKC wasn't going to do prior. So we know the Kings need point guards, right? I mean, that's clear.
Yep.
No depth behind DC, and he might be gone for a while, or he will be gone for a while. We don't know how long. And I think Payne over on OKC.
Cameron Payne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is like a future, maybe not a future star, but he's going to be a really solid point guard. And I don't, to the point where I don't think OKC was going to be willing to really trade him with the unknown with Westbrook. I think they were like, okay, well, if Westbrook goes, that's kind of our guy. But now that he's up, that void over there for them at the three, the small forward, I think a Rudy Gay for Payne could be a legitimate option that, you know, really helps us and then helps them also, because I could see that being a team. Rudy's going to play, he needs to go somewhere where he's not the man. With Westbrook, he's definitely not going to be the man. Even with Oladipo, he might be the, you know, 2A option over there. And it's a place that he might resign. You know, they might have a legit chance of resigning him because they're going to be a quality team. And, I mean, when you're 1-2-3, looking at Westbrook, Oladipo, Gay, and then you got Adams and Cantor, I mean, I think that's something they could really continue to build around.
Okay, Mike, I'm legitimately curious what you see in Cameron Payne that makes you think he's going to be a star other than being Russell Westbrook's pregame dance partner.
Well, I mean, the dude can run the point. He can score, which, you know, point guards in this, at least in the modern NBA, they got to be able to do.
Yeah, he struggled a lot, though, when Oklahoma City put him in. I think that's why they got Randy Foye at the trade deadline, because they felt like they couldn't rely on Payne yet.
Well, he was young, but I mean, do you not think you see, a lot of potential there?
Yeah, but you don't trade Rudy Gay.
You need a
little
more.
You need a little bit more in exchange. We need more back.
It would be lovely if they threw in something, but the thing is, you don't want to trade. But he's gone. This is it. His last year here. So it's definitely value will decrease as time goes, right? I mean, it gets to the deadline. We got to get something for him. I mean, Sack is he's not at the level of a Durant, obviously, but we can't have the same thing. Sacramento's the same kind of situation. OKC, I don't think we can allow assets to just leave. And he may not be a top asset, but we got to get something for him. And I think, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot. If we can get OKC to throw in, their first-round pick, because I know their 18 is gone, but you wouldn't look at a seriously consider a Payne in a first-round pick for Gay?
Hmm.
I feel like a little more is needed. He's still unknown.
Wonder at points why, because, you know, there was a stretch where, and Mike, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much.
It was solid.
There was a stretch where Westbrook was playing 45, 46 minutes, and it's like, why won't they put Cameron Payne in to run a little bit? And then they put him in, and it's like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
And certainly playoff situations are much different than regular season situations. Maybe you didn't get enough run during the regular season. That's fine. I haven't seen it yet. But
yeah, it doesn't mean it's not there, but you don't see it. You don't see it today.
And I did watch Oklahoma City a little bit in summer league, specifically to see him.
When you saw him in summer league, it didn't get any better? Because, like you said, playoffs, different situation.
No, of course it got better.
Okay.
But
that's
hard
to
summer, yeah, summer it was league. Summer league. Like, that's tough. The deal is official, by the way. Oklahoma City has sent out the press release, even though we knew last night, once it gets reported by certain sources, you know it's real. Well, the Thunder have put it out. It is official. They have a press conference at 2:30. If Russell Westbrook speaks before we get off the air, I promise we'll bring it to you. I'm extremely curious to hear what he has to say. Nate Duncan's going to join us in just about 8 minutes to break down what all this means salary cap-wise and what all this means, how he was able to pull this off, how signing this 2-year deal now actually got him more money than if he had signed during the offseason when the salary cap goes up. Now, stop me if you've heard this one before, but the Giants were leading 4-0 yesterday.
Uh-huh.
They lost.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
1-7 since the All-Star break with Bumgarner and Cueto starting. It's not good.
Right? Yeah, I watched a lot.
I'm no expert. That's not good. Right?
No.
Baseball's weird where you can have things are going well, things are not going well. You win some games you should and you lose some games you shouldn't. Watching yesterday's game, they didn't play well.
Mm-mm.
Like Cueto was pitching well enough to win, and then the mistakes they made. Even in the, I want to say it was the ninth, it didn't cost them the game, but this is little things in baseball that good teams are sharper on. Might have been one out. Yeah, I think there was one out. The catcher was on second for the Phillies. Medium fly ball to center. I mean, nothing that should advance. Denard Span catches it, goes to lob it in. Catcher advance, ran to third. Now, that run didn't score, but things like that, you're going, that's silly.
Yep.
Just you can't have – they're not sharp. They're not focused. They're losing games. They got a benefit again, thanks to Colorado, but they're not playing well.
Well, not just Colorado. The Mets and Marlins both lost.
Yes.
Marlins lost in spectacular fashion, by the way, to the Chicago Cubs. We'll touch on that. A lot more baseball coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. The preseason top 25 is out for college football. We're all very excited about that. Andy Benoit of the MMQB will join us at 2 o'clock. Show is loaded today, man. It's a great Thursday to be with us. We thank you for joining us. Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast joins us next here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHTK. I know it's a common point of conversation, but since we do it so often here on this radio station, is it obnoxious that we always have to refer to it as the National Football League?
Yeah.
Like, I never say, you know, Nate Duncan's joining us to talk about the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, I get your point. I don't know. I think someone started it, and people just keep running with it.
Analysts on television are the worst because they'll say it 47 times in a sentence for some reason instead of just saying the NFL. Like, somehow they're degrading the league by saying the NFL.
Yeah, I wonder where that started. Oh, well. I like it, though.
Steve Rushen wrote a tremendous column about it for Sports Illustrated like a year and a half back. It's worth looking at. You know, Steve Rushen's a tremendous writer.
They still write at Sports Illustrated? They still do that?
That's a thing.
That's still happening?
That's a thing. They don't all just do podcasts like our guest here, Nate Duncan. Nate Duncan's actually a writer, too. But, Nate, we're thrilled you can join us on such short notice. Thank you for being with us. Obviously, the story is Russell Westbrook. Why did this deal get done, and why was it so much more financially wise for him to do the deal now rather than the offseason?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was so much more financially wise, but it did – kind of makes sense for him. Basically, this cap spike has provided an unprecedented chance for teams to do what's called a renegotiation and extension. You mentioned the NFL earlier. I'm sorry, the National Football League.
There you go.
And it's always been my theory that they draw it out because they don't have enough to say, and so they have to like just fill more time by saying the full name of the league.
That's the trick, yeah.
You see renegotiations in the NFL all the time, but in the NBA, you're not really allowed to do that unless you have extra salary cap space and the guy signed his contract 3 or more years ago. So that was the case with Russell Westbrook. It was also the case with James Harden, who had a similar renegotiation, although his was of his last 2 years of his deal and then adding one on. So they're able to bump him up from what used to be a max salary, but is now outdated with the new cap, and give him about $9 million extra dollars this year. In exchange, he gets another 2 years of guaranteed money that is pretty close to the maximum that he could be making in those years. And then he is now postponing his free agency for one more year. And then at the end of that point, if the rules stay the same, he can make more money as a 10-year vet than he could have as a 9-year vet as a free agent 1 year earlier. So a complicated way of looking at it, but basically he's getting $9 million extra dollars this year and then another $60 million or so guaranteed on top of that to extend his contract for one more year for sure in Oklahoma City.
So, Nate, you said part of this was able to be done because they had the existing cap space to do it. Was that by design? Did the Thunder keep things open, this flexibility to do that, or was it just kind of happenstance for them?
Well, you can look at it two ways. I mean, number one, if they had given Deion Waiters an extension last year, that could have made this a little bit more difficult because they kind of said goodbye to him in part to facilitate this. Obviously, their plan was to just re-sign Kevin Durant, and then they would not have had the space for this. But, I mean, I actually wrote a piece looking at who could be a renegotiation extension candidate with the new cap about this time last year and posited that if Durant left,
doing a renegotiation of the extension for Westbrook would be the way to go. So I think they certainly had a contingency plan for if KD left, and this would no doubt have been at the top of their list of things they wanted to do with the extra space.
Nate, I have two questions. The first one, I want to make sure I get the particulars right. He has the player option for the 2018-19 season?
Yes. So he will likely be a free agent in the summer of 2018 rather than 17. But if something bad happens, he's got that protection for another year.
But he does not have a player option for next year. He can't opt out next summer.
No, that wouldn't have done Oklahoma City any good. Why give him extra money when he could just be a free agent at the same time?
Exactly.
He had to give up a year of freedom to get the extra cash this year.
And then my next question is, with this, are they going to have any space to actually go out and attract some help for him? Like, not just like B-grade talent, A-grade talent that will take A-grade money. Do they have room for that next year?
So if they don't do anything, and now they're probably not going to do extensions for Oladipo and Steven Adams and Andre Robertson so that they can keep their lower cap holds on the books for next year, they would have between 10 and 15 million in space, given some of the different cap projections and what could be a new CBA. So they would have to, the maximum next year is basically going to be about 30 million. So they would have to clear some space out. Ennis Cancer making about 18 million would be the most likely candidate to get moved in that scenario, I would imagine. We'll see what kind of a year he has, whether that would be useful, whether they'd have to attach an asset there. But if they did that, then they could get in the market for a Blake Griffin, who, of course, is from Oklahoma, has been the most talked about potential candidate for that.
Does this set Westbrook up? Because you mentioned the 10-year max and how he could get what I think you refer to as the super max. I think LeBron might be the only player who's going to be able to get that next year. But in 2 years, Russell Westbrook will be in line for that. Does this set him up? Does this deal that we got today set him up to be with the Thunder, not just the next 2 or 3 years, but really the next 6 or 7?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because one thing that is notable about this deal is if he gets more than 7.5% annual raises, which he almost certainly will, he can't be traded for 6 months. They instituted those restrictions after Carmelo Anthony did an extend and trade in the last CBA, and the owners didn't like that. But 6 months just happens to be early February. And if things really go south for the Thunder this year, and it looks like they just, are a 500 team or something, and they're not going to get any free agents, and, then they could still actually look to trade him. So I think it's likely that he stays. And then if you look at the summer of 2018, they'll be able to offer him a 5-year max instead of 4 when he'll be 29. So getting basically an extra $40 million, probably a little bit more than that, in the 5th year of that contract, which no other team could offer when he's 33, 34, that's something that I think would really appeal to him. So they would have a big financial advantage in keeping him, but a lot can happen in the next 2 years to where he just wouldn't necessarily want to stay. And we saw some guys like Al Horford was one. You would always thought he was going to re-sign with the Hawks, do that 5-year advantage that they had, but he instead went to the Celtics this year. So a lot could change, but it does set them up a little bit better to have more of an advantage to keep him. But I think it's going to be very clear after 2 years whether these guys are going to be good, they're a contender, he wants to stay, or whether, hey, it's just really not working out, Oklahoma City has to rebuild. And it wasn't clear at this point, right? Like, we don't know what this team's going to look like without KD very well.
Do you have an idea or roughly what that Supermax contract will be next year and the year after?
Yeah, it will be probably about a 5-year, $200 million deal in total.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, right?
Wait, say that again?
And I mean, that's not, we think that that's ridiculous, but, that's how much money is in the league now. That's
right.
Based on how much money is in the league. Like, if he doesn't get it, if the players don't get it, the owners get it. So it's not,
that's TV money, baby.
The contract is so high, Yeah. And we'll see what happens with that contract, too. That's for 29, a guy like him, I don't think he is going to age that well. He's very, very reliant on his athleticism. Like, I don't know that there's a scenario in which a 34-year-old Russell Westbrook is going to be worth, $43 million a year or whatever it is that he would be making at that time. But, it's one of those things where, like with Mike Conley this year for the Grizzlies, you just have to kind of bite the bullet and do that just to keep him.
Yeah, Nate, what is your opinion then of the team? We've kind of debated on what the Thunder will look like now with the additions. They obviously had a huge subtraction in Durant. What's your perception on how the team will actually look like next year?
I think they might be a little bit worse than people think. They have a massive deficit in shooting. Oladipo and Westbrook, both good players, are somewhat redundant with one another. I mean, they can split those guys up, but down the end of games, you're going to want them to be playing together. Then those guys are kind of not great shooters. Then you've got Roberson, another guy who is not a good shooter. Two of their best players are Adams and Cantor. Those guys are not great shooters either. They operate near the basket. So the question is, who's going to space the floor for these guys? And then defensively, they've lost Serge Ibaka and Durant. So the whole thing about, oh, they have so much length now, other than Adams and Roberson, you don't necessarily have any quality defenders on this team. I guess Oladipo could maybe become that, but he hasn't been yet. So I think on both ends of the floor, they have some structural difficulties where, despite some of the names on this roster, they may not fit together. They could be less than the sum of their parts.
Nate, I'm not quite sure if you can simply whittle it down to this, but I'm wondering, who's the winner in this deal, or are both sides winners in this new contract?
Yeah, I think it made sense for both sides, certainly, for Westbrook to just get $9 million extra dollars this year that he never could have gotten. That certainly helps. Only having to sign on for one more year, there's this weird structure where you're eligible for more money when you're a 10-year vet versus nine, so it made sense for him there. And Oklahoma City, I think just the Durant thing was such a shock to everybody that just buying some more time, you know, I think Russ wanted to be here this year and kind of see how it worked, and Oklahoma City, same thing, wants to see how it works. And then if they get the idea that it's not working out, then, you know, the parties can kind of, you know, Russell Westbrook can go somewhere else, try to go to a destination where he has a better chance to win, and Oklahoma City can get something for him. Having to sort of be forced to make that trade or not trade decision this year, I think, was not something either party wanted to do. They want to see what this new post-Durant world is going to look like.
I'm going to bring up a point. Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast joining us right now. I want to bring up a point that Jason brought up when we opened the show, and it's kind of just a question in that, does this Russell Westbrook deal change the narrative of Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City? Meaning Durant bolted, but the other guy, the other superstar, stayed?
It shouldn't, but it probably will. I can't speak for what the media at large is going to think. I think you're probably right that it will. To me, this was just a financial decision that made sense for both sides. There wasn't really a great option for him, it looked like, that he could go to that would be superior to Oklahoma City this year in trade. And he, you know, he liked it there. He wanted to see what it was going to look like. And then he has that whole 10-year experience thing as a reason to stick around as well. If Oklahoma City had had the cap space last summer to offer Kevin Durant the same deal, who's to know whether he would have decided he wanted to do the same thing? I mean, this is staying for 1 year. He's getting $9 million extra dollars plus another basically $60 million in security for 2 years after that in case he were to get injured or something this year. I mean, I think it made so much sense for Westbrook that you had to say if he didn't take this deal, Oklahoma City should trade him because it meant he didn't want to be there. So I think a lot of this has to do with the financial component. I think there is certainly a component that he wanted to be there and at least see how it goes. But to say that, like, oh, he's some sort of hero, he's loyal, I always hate those kinds of stories because it is a business and teams don't have loyalty to players. You know, we just saw what happened with Dwayne Wade, for example. They're trying to win, and players should be trying to win both on the court and financially just as much as teams are. So this whole loyalty thing to me has always been very overblown in sports.
Do you know if their relationship at all? Do you have any insight into that? It sounds like now it's a little bit weird, but before that, was anything, if they had any struggles amongst one another?
Did they like each other?
Yeah.
Because it sure seems like they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that personally from my own sources, so I wouldn't want to speculate too much. Obviously, the reporting has kind of been that they were close personally, but that KD had some reservations about the way that Westbrook played and dominated the ball. I'm not sure whether some of that is probably Russ's fault, but you know, I think some of it too is just that the coaching didn't really force them to buy into moving the ball in the way that Golden State did. So, you know, I hope those guys can kind of get over it. Usually I think people do who are close, but it certainly makes sense that Russ would be a little upset with KD right now.
Nate, you're supposed to be on vacation a few more months, man, but we thank you for joining us. They threw a wrench into your vacation plans and announced this deal. Did you think this deal was going to – did you think you would be talking about this at all this summer, Russell Westbrook staying with Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I think so, because it made financial sense. I think, you know, there was initially a report from David Aldridge that, you know, he wouldn't consider an extension. I think that was probably, you know, if he talked to his camp, that was probably just a straight extension that they were thinking about, where he wouldn't get the renegotiation up first before he extended.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have made financial sense. But I think once everyone kind of sat down and said, hey, you know, this actually really does make financial sense for both sides, I think it was something that was a good possibility happening.
Nate, we appreciate you so much for being with us, man. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast right there. Joined us last minute, so we're really happy we were able to get that in. Kind of make more sense as to how this whole process went, because the renegotiation he was talking about, those aren't words that you hear very often with contracts. Yeah. As he noted, you hear extensions, but you don't hear renegotiations very often in the NBA.
That's true.
I just heard, what was the Supermax? 5 years, $200 million?
$200 million.
Well,
and the thing about it,
my math is bad, but that's
ridiculous.
That's a lot.
$40 million.
And he made a great point. Not just the concept of Russell Westbrook being 34 years old and being paid $40 million. I see him as very, very much like Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. He is one knee injury away from no longer being Russell Westbrook. The thing, like he was saying, the thing that makes him is the athleticism, the explosiveness that he has when he just
violence.
You can use that word too. When he gets ready to go, it's go time. You better get out of the way. You can't stop that.
Yeah.
One knee injury.
Yeah.
And he loses all of that. And then you're paying, someone's got to pick that up.
To be fair, Derrick Rose was like two or three knee injuries before he was.
But after the first, you saw it was different immediately. I mean, the rest of them started to play on his.
I just don't
want to
believe
mentally.
I just don't want to believe it. Okay,
it's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to believe Russ is one knee injury away.
But any guard like that is one knee injury away.
Any explosive player.
That's what I'm saying.
Like I was reading about Amari Stoudemire this morning. The guy, Jack, I don't want to mess up his last name. His first name is Jack. The guy who wrote the Dream Team book 12 years ago wrote a book called 7 Seconds or Less.
Jack McCallum, maybe?
Jack McCallum, thank you. I keep wanting to call him Jack McMullen.
Yeah.
But that's
Jackie Mack. Yeah. But anyways, he wrote a book called 7 Seconds or Less about those Phoenix Suns teams. And he was talking about, you know, a lot of the focus is on Amari Stoudemire and how when Stoudemire get hurt, the reason he never came back the same is because he didn't rehab. He blew off rehab schedules. He blew off training sessions.
Oh.
Now, I don't see any of that in Russell Westbrook. But I've heard stories about Derrick Rose that have made me wonder, especially dating back to his college years where, and I'm sure this isn't uncommon, Derrick Rose didn't go to college. He just went to play basketball at a college. He didn't necessarily go to college.
It says, it's student first, athlete second. Yeah. So I take issue with
Should
you.
We read another Baylor story
here
for
you? I take issue with
Coach
you.
Cal wouldn't allow that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along.
He was at Memphis State at that point, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Derrick Rose, right?
Yeah.
Memphis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Derrick Rose didn't go to class. Anyways, the point in all that was blowing off rehabs. And, you know, Amari Stoudemire was that guy. You know, you talk about Derrick Rose being a guy who never got his explosiveness back. Amari Stoudemire didn't either.
Yeah, you're right.
He was just so explosive that when he came back from his injury, he had explosiveness. It wasn't the same. And then by the second one, it was like, well, okay.
That's a wrap.
And then by the end of his career, he couldn't jump.
Mm-mm. But didn't he just sign with somebody?
Israel. I think he owns the team, so it's one of those situations where if he wants to play, he can.
It's kind of like how Manny Pacquiao owns a basketball team. Did you know that?
Yes.
And
you better not make fun of it.
Right, because the guy
they'll come get you.
Yeah. The one guy made fun of him was like, yeah.
He'll come get your ass, man. You better not. Yeah. Don't do it. We don't have enough money to bail you out. Better be good. I'm glad we got that. I'm glad. I love this story. I love that he's there. Russell Westbrook stayed in Oklahoma City. I think it's fun. It creates more storylines for the upcoming season. I'm not going to wash off Oklahoma City and say they're no good. I think they're still a playoff team.
Yeah, he wasn't as high on them.
I'm with Nate on that. I don't see how you guys see it. I'm like, who's going to score?
What does Nate know anyways?
I mean, what are they going to do? And you don't even like Westbrook. You just like contract talk.
I love Russell Westbrook.
You like contract talk more than you like Russell Westbrook.
That's not true. Because
eyes light up when he starts talking about contracts. He gets all into it.
That's because he said 5 years, $200 million. Excuse me for my eyes getting a little large when he said that.
Yeah, because you're thinking, if I had that client, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Well, the other
thing,
I could totally do that contract.
Yeah,
if I had that client, bye, fellas.
Yeah, the other thing that jumped out to me was, you know, I think, Ken, you asked, can he attract other people? Well, after next summer, big free agents in L.A. are Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. He mentioned Blake Griffin.
Right.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And they have what?
That happened.
Like $30 million he says they'll have to work with.
But think about that one. He mentioned Blake. So let's say their best players are obviously Russ, Steven Adams,
mm-hmm. Oladipo.
And Oladipo. Mm-hmm. Okay, so where is Blake going to go? Is he going to start with them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But what I mean is, so you're going to have, is it Cantor and Blake in the, is Blake going to be four?
I would think. Adams the five. He said Cantor might be a guy they had to move up some space.
And Oladipo's a guard,
and
right?
Why would Blake's been in L.A. Why would he want to go to Oklahoma City? Because he went to school?
That's his home. Everybody wants to go home.
Nobody wants to go home.
What?
Dwayne Wade's going home to prove a point. I don't know that he necessarily wanted to.
Is he from Oklahoma initially, or just he went to school? I honestly don't know.
I thought he was from there. I remember seeing a special on him, and I thought he played high school basketball there. But maybe I'm wrong. I have to go research that. Because there was a whole,
Sheldon Williams is from Oklahoma, if that means anything.
They'll bring him in, too.
The guy that married up big time?
Oh,
big time.
Way.
Yeah,
way
see, so we just got told by Chris. He was born in Oklahoma City.
Still.
Because there was
he's
a
been
special
in L.A. all these years, and he's going to want to go play in Oklahoma City.
he's been with commercials there.
He's been playing with the ultimate point guard, by the way.
True.
In Chris Paul.
That's true.
And now you're going to go play with an entirely different type of point guard in Russell Westbrook.
But I love the fact that players are now realizing that they don't have to go to certain cities.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've learned from LeBron, I am the power. I take the talent. I am the person that makes everything go. I don't have to go to Los Angeles. I don't have to go to New York.
Right.
I can go wherever I want to go because I'm a big enough player.
That's true.
And so Blake Griffin is one of those. He can go if he goes to Oklahoma City, that changes them. Doesn't change him. Changes that team. Doesn't have to be in Los Angeles with Chris Paul.
I'm just saying.
Chris Paul.
Pool.
Different type of point guard. Even though Russell Westbrook, he could average a triple-double.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen based on what Nate was saying earlier when he was talking about, Robertson can't shoot, this person can't shoot, and it's like, we know where those shots are going.
Exactly. Could he be the first person in the history of the NBA to have a quadruple-double?
With turnovers?
10 turnovers, yeah, exactly.
It's very doable. Very doable.
Let's hope he doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
But it would be entertaining.
Yes.
It would be entertaining.
Good for him. He can feed his family now. Good for him.
Stop. Will you stop?
What? I'm serious.
With the feed your family line, stop?
Hey.
They have expensive taste.
You call Latrell Sprewell.
Dude, I don't.
Find out how important
that is. I don't
want
to call Latrell Sprewell.
No, seriously, call him because somebody needs to check on him.
He does not look right now.
He was great in that commercial.
He was great in the commercial, but he looks different now. He's got like this long blonde hair with like.
He still has the braids though, right?
Yes. It doesn't look right.
Like they haven't been tightened up in 10 years?
No, it doesn't look right. It looks all bad.
Can you go to my cousin's house? She'll tighten up your braids.
Yeah, get that cleaned up. We talked about the Giants blowing another lead. Lost to Philadelphia last night. They're tied right now in the top of the eighth. We'll keep you updated on that. Ken has, in fact, our three the hard way is all over the place. We've got old guys who want to play, athletes fighting, and the San Francisco Giants. That's coming up next here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHDK.